Welcome to the ITAD Talk Podcast and part two in this series.
What were some of the challenges and lessons from the transition between application specialist, IT specialist, and IT supervisor for the Allman board?
So when I first started, right, they created the application specialist position for me. And what I was mainly focused on at that time was SharePoint. So I spent the first year I was there probably deploying an entire SharePoint system for them. We migrated everything from an on-premise server with local file shares on a file server that's hopefully going to be decommissioned soon, but we'll still have it on. It's just in an archive mode. But we were able to migrate the entire organization from an on-premise infrastructure, Exchange on-prem, to Office 365 at the time, before they switched everything to Microsoft 365. And that was a good 2-year project that we did. It was a lot of work. Moving Exchange servers from the cloud, I'm sorry, from on-prem to the cloud is not something I would wish on my worst enemy. Especially when people have calendar items that they want to keep. I'm sure that Microsoft has solved this by now, but when we did it, that was our struggle. That was our biggest struggle, was calendar items, because when they got migrated over, the owner Sid didn't exist anymore. Right? Wow. So they couldn't, it was on their calendar, but they couldn't make any changes to those things because they weren't the owner of those items. And there's no way to go into each specific item, at least there wasn't at the time, go into each specific item and say, set owner as this user. Wow. We tried. We contacted Microsoft and we ended up just saying, you know, send out new invitations for pretty much everything. And that was, at least it was an answer instead of us just continuing to beat our heads. We went to multiple MSPs at the time trying to figure out if they had a solution for it. Nobody on the fast track team could help us with it. So anyway, we provided them with a lot of feedback, and I believe Microsoft has updated things so that you can fix those issues in the future if you're doing that. And I would highly recommend using the fast track team. They will help out a lot. But we did not have much access to that kind of stuff back then. We did it all. I guess we were kind of ahead of the curve before anybody did it. We actually had migrated over to Teams already before the pandemic ever started. So our people were already using Teams for a lot of things. After that SharePoint migration, I was still doing a lot of the system administrator work. All the two guys that were there both left. And so I was promoted up to the IT specialist position, where I had much more that was kind of an encompassing thing, meaning I do everything in IT because it was just me and the director. For a long time, we went through a couple of different people before we found our system admin, who we have now. It's been a transition, and it's been a lot of fun. Now that I've got another employee under me again, it's great to be able to kind of steer the organization. It's been a lot of fun.
So over the past few years, have you noticed any trends in the IT industry that you're glad about or that you hope we can reverse? And I noticed you kind of mentioned one was to migrate to the cloud. That seems to be, there seems to be a lot of activity going on there.
Yeah, I would say that is at least where I am focused, right? My focus is incredibly broad. The Allman Board of California is a small organization with a huge reach. We're a global organization. We have employees all over the world. but we are a marketing organization, right? So our job is to promote almonds across the world.
So are you allowed to say
here in the U.S.
Are you allowed to say like what their budget is, or like how much like they're spending on marketing and stuff like that? Or is, I don't know if that's a secret or not, but I was curious.
I think that information may be public information. But I don't think I should discuss it on this
sure.
podcast.
Okay.
We have a healthy budget, let's say that. And we do get our funding directly from the almond growers. All of our funding comes based on the actual poundage of almonds sold. So we get 3 cents per pound of almonds processed. And we work with almond handlers to... I'm sorry, I know so much about this because we have been rewriting the back end of this system. So we charge the handlers the 3 cents. They charge their growers that 3 cent.
So what is fee, the right? What is the largest market for the almonds?
The United States.
Well, no, I meant still, as far as a product. Is it the... Like, would it be like the almond milk, for example, or?
Oh, it's still the nut itself.
The nut. Okay.
Almond milk has been a huge boon for the almond industry. It has created a lot of extra demand. The introduction of oat milk recently has hurt that a little bit. But the nut is still the number one thing we sell. And lately, the biggest trend in almonds is in-shell nuts, actually. And that's a new thing. It's a new thing here in the U.S. They've been doing it in India for a long time. India and China used to buy tons of them. But because of trade issues with China that the United States has, our shipments to China have fallen through the floor. Because of the tariffs that exist. So we've struggled with that. And honestly, the entire shipping, the entire worldwide shipping issues that are happening are causing massive problems for the almond industry as well. We have a lot of boats waiting to carry almonds out, and it's hard to find boats, and the ports are very congested in LA. Anyway, we at the Almond Board are trying to help people send more things out of the Oakland port because the Oakland port has more availability. I'm not the best person to talk about that stuff. I know a little bit about the trade issues that we're having. We have an entire department that's focused on trade issues. The Almond Board is a very unique organization because we are a federal marketing order that was started in 1950. So we've been around for a very long time. Our funding comes directly from the growers of the product that we promote. We don't do a lot of advertising in the United States. You probably haven't seen a lot of our advertising. A lot of what we do, advertising we do, is overseas because those are the markets where we're trying to grow. India is the largest, is the fastest growing consumer of almonds right now. They continue to grow year over year over year, with huge improvements in shipments that we're sending to them. And that's where the in-shell nuts are going to right now is to India. And they're doing them unroasted a lot in India. And they're also doing some roasted in the shell now. So you can just take those and crack them in the shell like you would a peanut and eat the almonds right out of the shell.
Huh. Wow, that's interesting to know that that's the largest market and that's growing. Since you have experience working on IT in the education sector, are there any suggestions you would make to companies like ours that want to help our clients to donate used systems to schools?
Yes, absolutely. And that would be to develop relationships with the people who are doing the IT in the schools. You may need to reach out to people in the district if you're going to be working with public schools because they may handle all of the IT at the school. This is just me being a proponent of charter schools. Reach out to smaller charter schools. They really do need that kind of help. If you can, If you have the people who can do it, volunteer to spend time in the classroom, helping them to learn about technology. If you can develop those relationships with the people who do the purchasing, who are responsible for fundraising and things like that, for the departments, right? Then you can, you have a better in. It's not easy to send a blanket email to somebody at a district and say, hey, please, you know, you want to recycle, we sell recycled equipment that you could use in your school. If you, you know the guy, right, you can say, hey, Bob, you know, we teach your kids at this school, and we've got all of these extra computers that we can sell you, you know, that are still great performers, right? There are companies who get rid of hardware every 5 years, but they buy the greatest thing you can buy at that 5 years. Almond Board is one of those companies. We buy fantastic equipment for our people. And at the end of the 5 years, like, we're still left with a Core i7, 16 gigs of RAM, and a 512 SSD, right? And we still have great hardware that we can donate to schools, to people. And those are great things to be able to do. And developing those relationships is how you can make that stuff happen.
So along with that thread, what are some of your favorite emerging technologies or products?
So we are doing a lot of work with the Azure cloud and Microsoft's entire ecosystem. I've been an MCSC since Windows 2000, when I got my first one, and I'm heavily invested in the Microsoft world, right? It's where I live, and I have their latest product that I have been using is the Microsoft Defender for Endpoint. And it's like the built-in security center is great, but Defender for Endpoint allows me to harden my systems at a level that I've never seen in any other security product, period. Right? And a lot of the things that you can do to harden your network are not going to affect your users in any way, shape, or form. Right? You just put these controls in place so that bad actors can't run an exploit, right?
What does something like that cost for, you know, say a company of 20 people or something like that?
So it really depends on your pricing structure with Microsoft. I think that their retail price for that is $4 per user per month.
Okay.
In that range is the Defender for Endpoint. Now, there may be some additional things you need to get in order to do that. We already have the E5 licensing, which covers a lot of those things. And not everybody can do that, but I would say it's totally worth it, right? There is a lot of configuration on the back end. I have never dealt with a more complex security system setup. And I have deployed a lot of different ones, Malwarebytes, Sophos, Bitdefender, I can't even remember, Norton. I've deployed Norton ages ago when it was actually a good product in 2002, when everybody loved Norton because it was so easy to deploy on a network.
Thanks again for tuning in. And don't forget to subscribe anywhere you listen.